Yesterday we were discussing the question of what does it mean if, you know, proposing a different interpretation of the Gemara, reading it differently, and what does it mean for halacha? And the answer is it means nothing for halacha. Halacha isn't pasukim based upon call it original intent of the Mishnah or Amoraim. Halacha is based upon the authority of the Talmud Bavli, and the Talmud Bavli is what it is represented by is the term that Tosfos uses in different couple of Mesechtos. He uses this a number of times in Psachim and in Chulin, Misadrei Hashas. Sometimes people call it Hashas. That's the way we pass them. We pass them like, despite the Rambam's comments in that Shuba about Shachar Tayyar, we pass them like the Misadrei Hababa. That's the way it is. So what anything we're saying, even if it would produce a different halachic result, it doesn't actually matter. Some people may not like that. People on both sides don't like that. The people who don't like that who say, well, if we're just doing good, maybe we should follow that. And then the people on the other side, well, yeah, that's right, and therefore the whole methodology is wrong. So someone wrote that.
We're not getting
what I'm proposing now is a different reading of Amoraim and their interpretation than the way the Gemara interprets the Amoraim. That's the point. So, okay, so the last, so we read the Brice of Rabbi Yehuda, and so the Gemara now is going to. So what the Braisa does say, the Braisa says what we do have the following parts. We have the Rabbanan, we have the Tanakama who says that Hayulafan of Tzon Vizayas Mavarach Hatzon Poter Sazayas. We have Rabbi Yehuda says Mavarach Alazayas Sazayas Vimin Shiva. So up until this point, I suggested Pshat is that the Chachamim hold. That you make the bracha on whichever one you want, and it doesn't have to be the Shiras Aminim, and that Mamela is going to pop to the other one. Rehuda says you have to make the bracha on Shiras Aminim, and that Mamela will pop to the other one. Not because one bracha is called the other, but because there's an equal bracha here. Okay? And then the Gemara now clearly here, this is not going to fit in with our scheme. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehuda himself as saying that if the Tzon is the Ikar Yim Mavarech al Tzon Upozer Esazayis. Now, the way I would explain that, you know, to preserve still our reading of the Mishnah is the way Ephraim suggested, which is that there's two different kinds of ikar v'tafel we're talking about here. One is an ikar v'tafel, we eat them together. So if you have your radish and you take little slices of olive and you put them on top of your radish, that's really who this mode is. But if you're eating an olive and you're eating a radish and you're eating an olive and you're eating a radish, that's a different kind of ikar v'tafel. That's where really who this says, since you're eating them separately, you should eat the olive first, make the bracha on that, and that will be the center point of your hayulafana minim harbe, and therefore that will be the bracha that counts. But the Gemara is not going down that route, so the Gemara says you can't say Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the topic, because Rabbi Yehuda does say that if the stone is the ikar, it's poter satapa. Therefore, how do you make this all read the Gemara together? So the Gemara says the following: read for me, please. Tell us.
Are you aware of that?
We're in Maseches Bavitzina. Okay, we're at Daf Aleph, Amud Aleph. Yes, you know where we are. We're up to, in fairness, yeah. So La'olam B'tznon Ikar Askina.
Yeah, La'olam B'tznon Ikar Askina.
Right, so how could Rabbi Yehuda disagree with the problem? So the answer is, B'chi.
B'chi Pligi Rabbi Yehuda V'Rabbanan, who knows that first day Pligi. V'sir Masara.
Stop. So that line is original line. There's no modification there. Here comes the modification.
So the med varma olim shatznon ikar, aval ein hatznon ikar. The very call mivareich al zeh, the chod mivareich al zeh.
Okay. So. So that language is not at all in the Braisa. That's the language of Ula. It's a Bamez Vamamurim when the stone is Ikar. Otherwise, everybody agrees. Mivarech al zeh v'chozer mivarech al zeh. So that means what? Which order, Shimi?
It doesn't specify an order.
Doesn't specify. So why would you be mivarech al zeh v'chozer mivarech al zeh? So if you made the Zayas first, now I'm thinking the way we normally think. If you made the Brach on the Zayas first, so then I understand. You make a bracha on the zayis, which is our eight, and you make a bracha on the stone, which is our dhamma. But what if you made the bracha on the stone first? Why are you giving the bracha on the zayis, Ronnie?
It's only if you
made the borei pri hagana, on a fruit. On the fruit, so then we would say it's proper. But if you made a borei pri hagana on a vegetable, and now you want to eat a fruit, we don't say the borei pri hagana covers that fruit. So that's why the Rei HaKol Mubarech HaZem HaZem HaZem. Okay, go ahead. Ushnei.
Ushnei minu ba'almas v'chzein shavuos Mubarech al ezem en shirta. Rav Yehuda omer Mubarech al azayis v'azayis min shiva.
Okay, so that's basically sort of coming back to the Braisa. Still, Ushnei minu ba'alma shavirech HaZem shavuos. Now, Mubarech al ezem en shirta. Now you get, that was not in our Braisa. Now comes Rav Yehuda says, oh, so when you go back to the original Braisa, the original two lines, go up on the page where it says, why? The answer is because the stone was the Ikar. Rabbi Yehuda says, he's not talking about that case. He's talking about a totally different case. He's talking about two meaning Shabir Chasev Shabbos. That's what the Gemara is doing. It's quite a mechsel. Quite a mess. Okay.
And suspiciously close to the
Rehakol.
Well, that is a correct indeed. Yes. Yes. I may have to defend the third leg of the Braisa, where Yehuda says that if it's still as Ikam or Baruch Zachazayas, that I have a harder time saying. Where does that come from? This obviously is a reflection. That whenever the Gemara does a chasim v'chasra, you know, we could, in some cases, we could probably write the Braisa better than the chasim v'chasra in terms of how to make language, but that's not their agenda. Their agenda is just to say, okay, this is the case in between. Of course, they're going to use that language. They're not saying, chasim v'chasra doesn't necessarily mean, and we discussed a little bit, doesn't mean that there's another text. It means that there's a lacuna in the Braisa. So I'm going to explain to you what, it's not that somebody got the wrong text of the Braisa, but somebody gave it a bridge Braisa. So now I'm going to fill in what were the contents that were abridged out. That's the words.
Is very specific. This is how it's written.
What was it? Which is very specific? Haki katani.
No, it's
a language.
When we say Haki Katani, that might actually mean that's how it was taught. Here, it's not how it was taught. It's that there's a lacuna. Somebody in any culture, we've discussed many times, people can have abridged conversations because everybody understands that you don't have to fill in all the reference, you don't have to fill in all the details. You come in the middle of the conversation, you hear two people discussing a business deal, anything else. They have certain pieces of information in their head that they're not actually articulated because they both know. You, as the fly on the wall, have no clue what they're talking about. It doesn't make sense to you because it seems like there's something missing. And the answer is there is, because it's not in your head, it's only in their head. So this is the same thing. This is not, there was another text, you know, but rather, it means that there's a lacuna that was understood.
Yeah, I'm just saying, is usually technical, and it's like, this is how you recite it, right? So they're very specific formulations.
Yeah, okay. Look, to me, when an Amora says to me X, that means literally change the gear set. Hachi Katani means, okay,
that's the same thing, just with the cloth.
No. The whole difference is that Hachi Katani means this is what it means, this is what it means to say. So this is the one, it's not meant to be verbatim language. That's all.
How do we know that?
Because look all over Shas. That's how Chasir Lechas was used. Right?
This is
teaching. Yeah, but he's asking, Tani, the word means the same thing. Tani is an instruction.
To teach X. Right. This is what he is teaching. The meaning what he's currently teaching is X.
Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara continues. And this is another one of those oddities of structure of the Sugya. Read the continue, Boaz.
Chiva Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchak Nafa. Chal Amar Machlokes Shabbos Chosei and Shabbos. The Rabbi Yehuda Savar Min Shiva Adi. Rabbanan Tzvir Emi and Chavavad. Chavav Shein Rechtein Shabbos. The Rabbi Yehuda Savar Min Shiva Adi. Rabbanan Tzvir Emi and Chavavad. The Chad Amar Shein Rechtein Shabbos. Nami Machlokes.
I've got a question for you. A very simple question. What?
It's a very long sentence.
You get that. I just asked a very simple question. why is the Gemara presented this way? Why not say, Amar Ula, Machlok Sefisho Sefer, and say, and then write the following, Rabbi Ami, V'itema Rabbi Yitzchak Nacha, Amar, Machlokas Nami Kishen Ber Chosein Shabbos, however you want to formulate it. Kishen Ber Chosein Shabbos, Nami Kota. Why does it present Ula? And then it says, oh, by the way, there are two Amalai. One said X and one said Y. By the way, X is exactly what Ula said. It seems very repetitive, and it doesn't. And by the way, to be shown and note this, because what does this help us with? How many shitas hold that the machlokas is limited to bechasen shalos? How many amoraim? And how many hold that it applies even by ein bechasen shalos one? And therefore, how do we pass it? Two against one. That's what the number Rishon said. We know how to pass it that way. But it's very strange the way of presentation. What is the explanation for that, Shami?
The reason I'm talking about something else again with our reading of Mishnah.
Nah. That's the first step. I believe it's correct, but it's more. It's obvious what the text clusters are. You have to pay attention to who the Amoraim are. You don't even have to know that much. It should be pretty easy to figure out, even if you know very little about them. Why? Yeah, why? Don't tell me what, just tell me why.
Rabbi?
Yeah. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak, which tells you, Rani? Eretz Yisrael, because that's Nicha. Ula, okay, Ula doesn't have a title, which in itself should tell you something. Kushan and Rab Ula, probably. But Ula is from Babel, originally.
Was he one of the...
I believe so. I don't remember if he went back and forth. He certainly went from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. I don't remember if he came back. The bottom line is that you have Babel and then you have Eretz Yisrael. It's like this is the piece that comes in. So first we just present the Babylonian Torah that's Ula. And then, by the way, you have a Machlokas Hamoraim that comes from Eretz Yisrael. One of them holds like Ula, one of them doesn't hold like Ula. So the Rishonim is just arithmetic. One plus one versus one. So it's two against one. That is a presentation style. That's why I said, what I could have written the Gemara as follows. I could have said, Ula said what he said, and then we don't know which one of these two Amoraim said like Ula, but who cares? Just say, Amar Rabbi Ami Omar. Remember the Omar, remember the difference, Jake, between Amar Rabbi Yitzchak or Rabbi Yitzchak Amar? Rishonim explicitly make this point. They often will note something about the Gersa. It's a very important difference. Ronnie?
I'm pretty sure when it says
well, no, it won't be normally presented. Sometimes it's not. It's wrong presented. Amar Rabbi X, and then if it says Rabbi Y Amar, it means that they're arguing. In other words, Amar Rabbi X. Rabbi X said the following, but Rabbi Y he said the other. Rishonim may explicitly occasionally state this, but often when they talk about sometimes they talk about Girsa, and the reason why they're worried about Rabbi Yitzchak Amar versus Amar Rabbi Yitzchak is because Amar Rabbi Yitzchak is a new statement. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar means he's disagreeing with what came before. It's true that way, by the way, in Mishnayos also, I think, if you look.
It sounds natural, as we have done it so much. If you saw a Mishnah that said Amar blank, then Amar blank, it would sound weird. It would sound like
correct, that. Correct. You wouldn't get, in other words, in the Mishnah, typically you get as follows. Da 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 da, Divrei Rabbi so and so, and you won't get Amar Rabbi so and so unless it's dialogue. But if it's presenting an opinion, it's going to be Rabbi Yehuda Omer. That is standard the way it's presented. So what you could have done is you have Rabbi Yochanan say that, then you say Rabbi Yitzchak Itema Rabbi Ami Omer. So it's clear that one of those are arguing, but we don't know which one. Rabbi,
what's earlier? Who's earlier, Ula or this Ter?
Probably about the same time. I don't know exactly. Ula, I believe, quotes Rabbi Yochanan a fair amount, if I'm not mistaken. And Rabbi Ami is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. So they're probably roughly third generation Babel.
I'm wondering if maybe Ula was aware of that.
Oh, it is possible.
And
it is.
He had his formulation.
Well, his formulation is the same.
As I'm saying, he gave like the bottom line, which is he was supposed to like, one of the
sure.
And the Gemara also has the source for the original one. So
absolutely right. Possible. Yeah, it is possible. So we don't. There's a certain amount that we just don't know because we can't know. But yes, that is definitely possible. Okay. So now let's talk about that other shita. The other shita says, "Afish ebechasar in Shabbos nami machlokas." Okay. So what does that mean? Let's just sketch out the case. Shimmy, what's the case?
You're eating a carrot and an olive.
Yeah. kunch is a radish. A radish is a carrot. Right. You have a carrot. We are, in your honor, we're going to substitute carrot. Okay. So they're both things that grow underground, and then they stick their green leaves above the ground. So it's useful. My wife likes radishes. I'm not a big fan of trying to pickle radishes. But it turned out beautiful because the only thing I had planted that ever grew were radishes. So the great deal was she got the radishes and I got the leaves for my salad. So it was a good deal. So if you need anything planted and to farm and to grow, don't come to me. I can kill. In our family, we managed to even kill mint. Mint is a weed. Mint is a weed. That's a talent, okay?
That's so
I can talk a lot.
I know someone who has tried and failed to kill mint.
Yeah. So anyway. So radishes, so carrots, and olives. So what is the machlokas? According to the Shita, what's the machlokas? Either according to the Chachamim, what do you have to do? What do you do? Whatever you want. Well.
Whichever one
you
prefer.
Don't jump to conclusions. That you in other words, a mevarech al eitzem and shiirtzeh, minimally, it might mean you make brachos, but a mevarech al shiirtzeh, that's all you know so far, and that's crucial in the Gemara's question, the question they get asked. Or Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you make a bracha on the zayis. So, you, Ezra, were running to the conclusion that, and you make two brachos, two questions, which one do you make? Very nice, but now the Gemara asks the following. Bishlama, go ahead, Boaz.
Lamanda Omer,
Machlokes.
Machlokes,
Shapir. Lamanda Omer,
Shapir.
Shapir. Ella.
Ella, Lamanda Omer, the end of the Shabbos,
pleading my pleading. They're arguing for that. Now, what kind of a question is that?
They just said what they're arguing.
Yes, but they're asking what's in the Kudus HaMachlokes. But Rashi writes, "B'mai pligi, havadai lo miftri b'chad bracha Ezra." Right? Rashi says, "Like you there." Right? Of course, they can't be arguing about which bracha. So, what difference does it make? For the Tanakama, you make hadama then an eighth. Rabbi Yehuda makes an eighth then hadama. Okay, so I can still ask you the question: what do you mean, what b'mai pligi? They're arguing about lahatim, which bracha should be made first. So, what's the Gemara's question then? That's Rosh Hashanah. Really? Are you that lahatim? Really? That? We care which bracha you make first. The Gemara's answer is. All right. He says the answer is lahatim. That's actually what the Machlokes is about. But this is the first time the Gemara, in a sense, wakes up and says, "Oh, why would there be an argument? Maybe they could argue. Maybe they could argue even in a in which bracha should make first, you're making two brachas." But that's not Peshat, I think. I think it's not what Rashi, exactly that, what Rashi's coming to preempt, I'm suggesting is Peshat.
Why is Rashi saying Vada? Why is it like that?
Because we have reached that, we know as a concluding matter, right, no, we know that it is inconceivable. Rashi laid out earlier, it's inconceivable anybody would say you make a bari pri adama on a potato and then you don't have to make a bracha on the apple. Correct. Rashi's, again, they're all starting with that if they're given. There is nobody, the Rashba is the only one who suggests as one of two possibilities in the first base today, that maybe you make a bracha on the zayis and you don't make a bracha on the tzon because the zayis becomes on the chavim, like he said it. You make a bracha on the tzon and you put there as a zayis, like the two possibilities in the Rashba, in the havamina of what the price is. One possibility is that the hard pre-adama, the one he prefers to go with, which then the Gemara is rejecting, that's the point. That you make a bore pre-adama on the tzon, but that would pato the zayis, even though it's not made on the zayis. But the first interpretation Rashba throws out there is that maybe the reason why the Havamina, what's the Havamina of Mevarech al Tzon of Potter Sazayis? That when you have a Chavid, the Chavid is definitionally Ikar. So I think that shouldn't be cast aside so easily. So the position of the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, and Tanakama says that you only one Brachas being made here. There's a Chavid here. And the Rabbanim say the Chum is whatever, there's an Ikar here, I should say. The Chachamim say, whatever you like better is the Ikar. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, 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 we're Zionists. Whatever is Shiras Aminim is the Ikar. That's the definition. Okay. Okay, so, continue. Okay, now stop for a second. I don't know how I handle the Mar Mikolas. We're going to read the next part. I am not going to. I'll just explain basic stuff because one could spend a lot of time doing this. I mean, I really don't want to do that because I go off on enough tangents as it is. But in this case, I think we just need to continue on the Brachos. So we'll read the Gemara for the Yotzei, and this is not important. Before you get there, though, there's a crucial Girsa question here. But let's talk about flow for a second. When the Gemara said, "B'mai Tligi," who were they asking the question of?
Does it say who they were asking the question of?
Tell me. Tell me, Mr. Beer.
On the position which says that they're...
No, I don't know. But the question is, "B'mai Tligi," what do they argue? Whose position within the Manda Omar? After Zebek Sechavos, who were they questioning? Ethan?
Saying, according to Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda.
Forget according to Rashi. You flesh out.
Whoever is being more specific, they're questioning.
Correct. Yeah. Which is?
Rabbi Yehuda.
Correct. If you don't think, until you. The Machshon of the Gemara thinks, literally, that being Machshon doesn't matter. Now, what is the Chacham's position? Do whatever you want. So we understand the Chacham's position. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. You must make the bracha on the Shiras Aminim first. So the question of Bamai Pligi is a strange formulation of the question, right? It's my Kasava Rabbi Yehuda. And the answer is, Rabbi Yehuda, now, if the Maskana is, they argue about whether Kedima is a thing. Right? The Rabbanan, remember, the Rabbanan, if you assume that they're generally, they like chadav, right? When you have two things of the same name, you're making one bracha, as the Gemara presents it, you make it on the chadav. Why? Because that's the hinder in the bracha. So the chachamim, the maskara, say that even though there's a chadav here, mevarech amei zemer sheyitzeh, they don't, it's not, there are two machlokas between them, Rabbi Yehuda. One is, which is more important generally, chadav or Shivas Aminim? And the second thing is, if you're making both, do you really care which goes first? The Chum just don't care.
Is there a case according to the Chum that there is no Chum?
Yeah. What's the case? Do you know what I'm
saying? You just have two things that you like to
say. So then.
There's no Chum.
So then it's not Chum related.
There's no Chum anymore.
Then they don't care about Kedima?
Well, which are you going to give Kedima to?
Why do you think?
So Ezra, one of the things that comes up later in the Gemara, what a lot of Rishonim say is that even according to the Chachamim, if there's no Chadid, then you should give Shiras Aminim to Dima.
Right.
That's a very crucial point that what we're discussing now. But you can have no Chadid. The answer is, I don't really care. Eat your peas and carrots. I hate them both. What's okay? You eat them both. Right?
No, but you're right. In the case you think they have different brachos, but they're both equally Chadid.
Right.
Would they ever appeal to
Kedima
at all? Or is that
Well, how would you apply Kedima?
No, but they don't hold of the drasha, meaning the bracha. So it's not a big one.
What so you mean the Shiras Aminim drasha?
Right.
No, hold on. I don't know if that's what he's asking. Give me two of your two items with different brachas. Okay. Lewis, I'll get to him, sorry. Oh, no, let's not go down that road. That's all the whole
thing.
You're just going to confuse me. Take a normal tip.
Avoid bread.
Have we been talking about mizonos in this again?
Guys, there's only three normal brachas.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying in this sugya, what have we been talking about? Take a bit. So the point, right now, the way the Gemara is handling it, nobody holds Adama Patim Ha'itz when you don't make it on the fruit itself. So the Chachamim, you have, if you don't have any preference, so it doesn't matter. You know what the Chachamim would say, if you don't have a Shiras Aminim, some Rishon, it's a Machlok Shiras Aminim, but leave Shiras Aminim out. If you don't have the Shiras Aminim, and you have a potato and a tomato, and an apple. Okay? You have a potato and you have an apple. And you like them equally both, or you dislike them equally both. But your mother's making you eat them. Okay? I'm sorry. Your parents are Rishuthim. Why should I discriminate against mothers? Okay. And, so which one do you make the bracha on according to Chacham? You flip a coin, because Hillel's going to decide. Do whatever you want. You don't care. But Chacham hold, even if there is a Chavit, doesn't matter. Why? Because you make the bracha on the chavid. Because who cares about kedima? You make the both. It's one thing if you make the bracha on the olive, which you don't really like so much, but and you love the apple, but we tell you to be a Zionist. So you make a bracha on the olive, and you're not going to make a bracha on the olive. Okay, but really, you would have been so much. You would have been just in dialogue with the Ribbono Shel if you made the bracha on the apple. I say it jokingly, by the way, but I actually mean it seriously. Right? In other words, we say this in a lumbus fashion. I may say it a little bit lightheartedly, but like years ago, I remember, I don't want to say who the Rav was because he's unfortunately ill repute, but I think it was him. I think he used to talk about like an uncle of his who used to make Asher Yatzar and out loud and really, and people were embarrassed by it. So on the one hand, I kind of get that. On the other hand, if you think about what it means a person making brachos with real kavana and heart, it's like actually a spiritually remarkable phenomenon. So we can joke about it a little bit, but let's do realize that it's actually can be deadly serious business. One second, Jacob, because Lewis is in vacation.
So in the Rishonim, it's like the thing about the coming is like reified into this category of like tummy. So at that point, wouldn't there actually be a sense of preference?
There could have been.
Because, like, if, let's say I have my keys, let's say I don't like keys, and they're right in front of me, and I'm waiting for them to get passed around or something, where I still feel like reaching over, I'd rather just grab what's in front of me. I should care about it.
Except for the Chacham. Well, so again, I think the Chacham would say, in theory, unless you're so hungry, in which case this is whatever's in front of you is Chavit too, or maybe not, the Chacham would say, yes, you should make it on the Chavit, you're only making one bracha. So I agree, they could have had Kadima, they don't. Ultimately, the Gemara says that pliyi b'lahatim, the Chachamim think hakdama means if you're making a bracha on a chavit anyway, doesn't matter if you make it first or you make it second. And Rabbi Yehuda believes that no, you have to do kedima b'ed shivs. I mean, even if you're going to make the bracha regardless, the chiddush though is Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim's position is like, well, until now we didn't know kedima was a thing. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no, I want so they say the bracha is em sheyirtze. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, shivas aminim because kedima matters, Jake.
I would have said Lahakti means that they're arguing about the order, not that they're arguing about whether there is an order. That's what I would understand.
Before you. This is tricky. Hold off on that a second, but I'm going to ask you that question, but my plea. When they ask that question, who are they at? There's a reason why, this is really important. Who are they asking that question on? And therefore, because I said it, that's right, and you just accept it? Like a lemming going off a cliff, or like a mindless sheep? Yes, I think it's Rabbi Yehuda. But if you don't agree, then argue with me. But I think Rabbi Yehuda is the question. In other words, when I ask for my plegi, I understand that they're going to come up with something that Rabbi Yehuda holds and the Chachamim don't hold it. Okay, and Jake, you're making a separate claim, but I want to not hold off on that talking after a second.
Can you explain one more time why it doesn't Rabbi Yehuda and not the Chachamim?
Because the Chachamim's position, the pshat is, Mevarech al eizem ehem sheyirtza. Now the pshat in that line, well, the problem is it's also in the Mishnah.
One second.
You're suggesting an alternative reading to Rashi and Chabad. Maybe I'll just show it, but I'm not sure. You're suggesting that when it says in Rashi and Chabad Yirtza means. That you have to make on the chavit, as opposed to make on whichever one you want. So I'm like I'm I know. So this is an important. We haven't spoken about this issue yet. Is there such a concept of chavit? Or is whatever you want? Okay, so this is what I'm going to say. The question is there a concept of chaviv that it is, if you have something that I usually like more, but today I feel like eating the other one. Does that mean I'm ignoring chaviv? Do you say whatever I want to eat now is chaviv?
We addressed this.
I mentioned this as an issue.
We said
the Rambam's clear, I think it's whatever you want is the chaviv, right? There's no, and it's perfectly plausible shita. In other words, there's nothing haliga about the fact that I normally like dates, I normally like apples, but today I want an orange. Today an orange is my favorite. You know, it's like grandparents. It could be, hopefully not parents should do this. A grandparent may tell each of his grandchildren or her grandchildren that they're favorite. Right? When you're with each one, they're the favorite. It's a problem when actually you do have favorites. That's a serious issue. I know of such cases, which is to be mind-boggling. But no, but it's okay. Every child, every grandchild is actually, or every child is supposed to think that they're the parents' or grandparents' favorite. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not good. It may not be the parents' fault, but it's not good when one of them feels that the other one is favorite. That's not good. But I'm going to work with the assumption what I want now is the favorite.
Whereas then you could never eat something that's not your
favorite. I mean, it would be very strange. Right? Imagine, Jake, that someone brings out for dessert fruit, and there's all sorts of different fruit on the plate. Which one are you going to eat? Whichever one you prefer. Which one do you prefer? Well, you look at those and say, I feel like I want to eat that one. That's the way people, you would a normal person ever, let's say you love grapes. Grapes are a God's gift to humanity. Okay? And then, but you know, there are dates there. And you know what? I'm not hungry for grapes. I really like dates. But you know, I'll make the bracha on the grapes because I normally like that one. That's not the way people work. Right? The idea that there's the Rishonim say, not everybody agrees, that chaviv is this metaphysical category, you know, which I normally like, as opposed to what I like.
Did you just say, as long as you're eating the food of your own will, like,
And nobody's told you that you're supposed to do one over the other, and you choose. That is basically what you want now.
Whichever one you wanted is the one you chose. Otherwise, you wouldn't have chosen.
Right. So if I work with that, your question doesn't get off the ground that way. Right? It only works if you assume that there's this metacategory chaviv, which means it might not be the one I choose now, but it's the one I normally choose. Therefore, when the chacham is saying mevarech ha'mezen sheyirtzeh, it means the one that I'm always Nisratzen, or normally Nisratzen, even though it's not the one I want to have now, which is not pshat in that language.
How do you even get the metacategory to begin with? Right? You have to have chosen something usually in order to actually make the category, and then you're kind of stuck in the category forever.
Well, how do you get out of this? Wait, you have to make a declaration. I hereby renounce my love of grapes.
But the point is
that the Mishnah uses the same language. So if I'm operating with the assumption is whatever you want now more is called the chavim, then you can't ask the question of the chavim. Because by definition, whatever you eat is going to be the chavim. So there's no, we don't care which one you're machdim. You care which one you're machdim. That's why you eat it first. For Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter what you feel like eating, you eat the zayis first. That's why Rashi, I don't know how Rashi, I don't know that Rashi has a category of chavim that's distinct from Esam and Shehir Tzaneh. We have to go back and just quickly reread the Rashi's to see if there's any indication, because that's a big fish. Right? And the language is, me'ezem she'yirtzeh, when the Gemara says chavid, yes, chavid is, whichever I want now. That's chavid for me. Right.
I want to support Jake from the Gemara something. I mean, Yona doesn't...
You're on his side?
What?
You're on his side?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yona holds, this is the Rebbe alluding to, I think, is the Rashi, who holds of this, what you run down as chavid.
Yes.
So Yona says that Tamino quotes Ben Yonah saying that that which is to Yoser, the chametz you should make first, even though you don't want to eat it till after theoretically you eat the other thing.
Right.
He doesn't say that the Rosh is sorry about what you generally want as a chametz. Yeah, currently, this is the thing which is chametz to me. I can't have it second. But still, Sadarok, you should say it first. And Misara, I think in the show we hold that the non-cream Oreo side should be eaten first, even though the cream is chametz.
and that's cool, but why should you be having that?
I even faced someone who's going to throw orders at me. I knew that. I set myself up for that because from a psychological perspective, from building discipline, you should be the other way. What?
That's the last.
Yes, yes, yes. There are different chicos. I'll call OCD tendency. I don't have OCD. But, I make my food, certainly when I'm eating alone, and I clean up all the dishes that we used to prepare and put them in the dishwasher before I sit down to eat. That might be a little bit neurotic, but I'm happy that way. I'm happy. I now get time to enjoy my food. But other than the plate I'm eating on, I don't have to do that anymore. Is anybody actually operate like Red?
I do.
You get it. Thank you. Thank you for the generosity of somebody here understands me. But that I think that's the way, I think there's a difference. Probably it doesn't. You're saying that doesn't. Fine, you're just stating that you're just modifying the shita of the rush. You're modifying the way I'm quoting it, but it doesn't change anything. If you don't adopt that position, then it's clear that the mind of the tzigi is Rabbi Yehuda. Once you adopt that position, with the way you're citing it, the way I was just presenting it superficially, and that there's a regular covet, in other words, because if you don't belong to one of those two formulations, then the question is only Rabbi Yehuda. If the Chacham would believe whatever you do, as I said, by definition, whatever you do now is the one that you want more, so then you can't ask the question, what is the Chacham Shita? The Chacham Shita is eat what you want. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is don't eat what you don't want first.
Yeah, but he is explaining how it's not the finish food eating. You say you invented a metaphysical category, you're saying, okay, like I eat some carrots, like, and I like to eat my carrots second, but I like carrots more. So, like, it's not like a crazy, I don't eat.
I'm not grasping.
You don't need a metaphysical category to understand that sometimes you want to save the best for last.
Fine, okay. I metaphysical is not, I shouldn't have used that term. It's a category, as opposed to a behavior at this particular moment. Right? In other words, can there be such a thing as a chaviv? If nobody instructs me as to what to do, I sit down. I could question whether that's, again, yes, you could call that a chaviv. But I would argue that when the pshat in Eizim and Rachas Yirtzeh means I have to make I can make whichever one. Whereas according to the Rosh, it doesn't mean that I have to eat the carrots first, even though I want to eat the peas first because I prefer to save the best for last. But I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to make the bracha on the best first because kedima matters. And so, in other words, if you adopt the Rosh's position, the question can be both on the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. By plingy means why do they hold what they hold? So for Chacham you don't have to ask the question, probably who do you do? Whereas according to the Rosh's approach, you have to ask the question both, right?
Just, the Chacham really is just the negation of Shias Rabbi Yehuda, as you could read it in the Mishnah, then you want to say the difficulties in trying to read the Braisa according to the Pidyon Yavod, meaning why is it that we're approaching Shias Chacham first and then Yehuda hardens to them? But logically, really, the structure needs to be Yehuda presents a Shita, which is
and the Chacham say, no, you don't need to. We typically present the Rabbim before the Yachid. I think it's a strong preference. Right? The fact that Chacham say, Mevarech Aleis and Ahim Shiyirz. Again, what I would say is that if you... Ronnie, would you like to take bets on this?
I just gave you an example.
Alright, let me, one of my close friends who's a medical, he's an emergency room doctor, but he reads a lot of, the medical literature, always reminds me the plural of anecdote is not data. So one data point is not. You're trying to understand that expression?
I'm not trying to understand how it's relevant.
That's fine. Nobody has ever... I didn't even take that one hard. I'll tell you, I told you the story of my... I just saw him at the wedding on Sunday. My beloved chair assistant. He's also a beloved chair assistant. He holds the record for 3 years. and the guys, I watched them this year, and they were arguing about it was Hanukkah. They were arguing whether you say Hanukkah Sameach, whatever terms you use. And I walked there and said, this is what guys get all worked up about. And my share assistant looks at me and says, Mar Cheshvan. I cracked up. But he was mortified after he said it. And like, for years, he could, you know, it was timed out. It's like he just had like such charat. It's like, I don't know. So what I'm saying is the fact that you've planted one Mishnah, I know the phenomenon of a Chachamim Omer. But let me ask you a question, Rani. How often do you have a Tanakam in the Mishnah? Most of the time.
But is that different than Chachamim?
Well, you should know the way the Bavli takes things. I don't know that Yerushalmi does it. Whenever you have a Tana Kama, then a named Tana, and then the Chachamim Omrim, the Bavli usually assumes there are three Shitos, and that there's some difference between the Tana Kama and they call the, you know, and the Tana Basra, the Chachamim Basarai. And they have, there are only a couple of places in Chas they can't figure out an Afkamino, or this is some place in Bamei Madlikim. So the difference between Tana Kama and there, the Gemara comes up with an Afkamina but doesn't know who holds which. Normally the assumption is that the Tana Basra is to add on, whatever that means. It's, you know, not Sufe. But the Chachamim Omrim, as I'm willing to bet you, are probably statistically much, much rarer than compared to a Tana Kama followed by a single Tana. So that's why I say the norm is to present the Das HaRabim first. Right, it's not even presented. Right, the Mishnah doesn't present it as the Chachamim. It just says Mavrech and Shnitzah, Rabbi Huda Omer, because that's the norm.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
are you the fun of being high that Rabbi Huda Omer?
What second?
First.
Oh, why? Fine. Why did you say? Why did you?
I said that you could read that.
I was wondering about that, but I just accepted it. Yeah.
The Bryce of the Rabbim. The Bryce presents. If you have the Rosh, I understand you could put them in that order.
What's that?
Oh, good anecdote. No.
Thank you, Jim. You're proficient to be his replacement. One of the assurance that you have to insult the Rebbe. Jake, you have homework to do. You're going to present in the beginning of Shir tomorrow just two numbers. How many times in our Masechta does it begin with this? And the first mission, by the way, is also like that. Rebbe led, Rebbe led, although it may not actually be that way. No, it would fit. The second half is Rabbi Eliezer. It starts with Rabbi Eliezer. Go through the Masechta, this Masechta, and come back and tell me how many Tana Kamas are followed by when you have a Rabbi B'Yachim, when you have either a Tana Kama or a Chachamim afterwards, how many come first and how many come second. Okay? It's not that long of a homework assignment. So unless you have like massive midterms tomorrow, it's your job to come up this year tomorrow. What's that?
Pretty long homework assignment.
Just one Masechta, just stop it. You just have to stand through. What?
You don't need to understand it.
Oh, Mishnah.
You miss his Mishnah. You just look at the Mishnah. And there are probably 70 Mishnahs. So you literally look at the Mishnah. There are three possibilities. There are no names in the Mishnah, it's just Samadin. You'll see it quickly. Or you'll see names and you just look. Is there a Tana Kama and followed by a Rabbi? Or, you know, well, it doesn't take very long. I don't think so.
You see it in Kedah's time. It's your data structure.
So going back to the case of you like something more, but you want to have it separate for some reason, you want to save it.
Yeah.
So in the original shot that we discussed, right, we discussed a similar question with the fish and the cracker. Like if you're eating the tamtil first, would you make a berach on it? Right, because the second thing is...
So you have to make a berach on it because you're being nebbed. The question is, what berach do you make on it? That's... You have a choice. You can't eat the good. You can't eat the thing you really want without preparing by eating the.
I would say, let's say like the other one is, you know, in the oven and it's warming up, and you're getting impatient. Like that's gonna be the cut of your meal. Right now, you want to have a few olives just because they're on the table.
I think that's another question. If you can't eat one a particular thing now,
it's not really part of the.
Yeah, it's not about the cheshvan.
Yeah.
I think so. I think that's easy to say. It's not available now. Okay, let's come back to why am I so interested in who the question is? Because what's the response? The response is Lahakim. Rabbi Yirmiyah says. And now, what's the next word? I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah Lahakim. What's the next word, Boaz?
The Amar.
Stop. I asked you what the next word was.
Sorry, the Amar.
Okay. Why is that? Why is that so important? What's the most important letter in that word, Ronnie?
Din.
Why?
It's not exactly Kedimah, but I thought it's similar because certain foods come first in the Pesukim.
No, this what list?
It's found in the use of the proof set, like a proof of the previous statement. But this is that Hakama schema is like important.
Yes, and what does that mean? If it is the proof text, then it is only for Rabbi Yehuda, right? Because the Gemara, because the Chacham, at least on the surface, the Chacham, and this is a major machlokas that we show him. And there is another Girsa. There's another Girsa, the closest quote, that says, Omar Rabbi Yosef. It's a separate issue. But if you say, Di Omar Rabbi Yosef, you're suggesting that Rabbi Yosef's Mebra only applies according to the Shita in East Tanayim, who says, Lahakta matters, which is Rabbi Yehuda. And that matters so much because. That matters so much because if at the end of the Sugya we find Amoraim who are concerned about Kedima, what does that tell you? Correct. That means they are posek like Rabbi Yehuda. That's what's so crucial here. Now, that's why I say the Gemara's question, Vamai Pligi, it's crucial to know, is that question really directed at who's it directed at? And when you say, and here's what matters, Jake, right? Your alternative proposal would neuter the question that many, the proof that many of you showed on the brain, Pasuk of Yehuda. Because you're suggesting that Hakdama really does matter, and that you're still going to have to deal with the question, because the story of Amorim that we'll read in a moment is with Shivas Aminim. But do we show them have an escape hatch for that? What's the escape hatch? Is that the Chachamim might agree that if you have no preference at all, I'm really totally agnostic. Which should you prefer first? I don't care. Do you want fish or chicken for dinner? Doesn't matter. Which one do you want first, your peas or your carrot? I don't care. In such a case, it would mean that the Chacham, it could be, the Chacham would say, okay, if one of them is the Shiva Saminim, let it be the Shiva Saminim. And if two of them are the Shiva Saminim? So, for the Chachamim who say that Chaviv of non-Shiva Saminim, whatever Chaviv means, takes precedence over Shiva Saminim, what would the din be if you had two Shiva Saminims and you had a Chaviv? Which one would you make the bracha on? Well, obviously on the Chaviv. What happens if one of them was earlier in the Pasuk? It was closer to the land. Very Zionist, I'm telling you. What would it then be? Well, of course you make them the Chaviv. Why? Why would you make it on the Chaviv in that case as opposed to the one on the Pasuk? For the
Chachamim.
For the Chachamim.
Because there's a preference, which is always easy.
Because it's Kal v'chomer. The Rashba points out the Kal v'chomer, that if, when I'm dealing with a non-Shiva Saminim and Shiva Saminim, the Chaviv of the non-Shiva Saminim wins, certainly within the Shiva Saminim, the Chaviv wins. But a non-Shiva Saminim fruit is much farther away from Aret than any Shiva Saminim fruit. So, if it wins when it's a non-Shiva Saminim fruit, certainly when it's a Shiva Saminim fruit, even if it's not Moktam B'Pasa. But what if you don't have any preference whatsoever? You are totally agnostic on the question of which one you want at first. So the Chachamim might be Modeh, maybe. Maybe they would be Modeh that Shiva Saminim should take precedence. And maybe within Shiva Saminim, if you have two fruits, and there is no two items, and there is no, you have no preference whatsoever, you're totally agnostic as to which one to have first, then you would follow the criteria of which one is Moktam
B'Pasuk. But if that's coming from the statement of Rabbi Yosef, which it is by the later story with the two Amorites, so then what's the license to also use Rabbi Yosef's statement as a proof that's for Rabbi Yosef?
So
you don't know that it's talking about.
If you take away, say it again.
We don't know a specific case. Meaning, once we say Rabbi Yosef could also be about the other case, and there's no preference because it has to be if we're gonna justify the later part of the one. So then, if his text also his drasha also can't be used as a proof for Yehuda because it's not talking about Rabbi Yehuda's case. It might be talking about.
Correct. So that's the crucial question of this.
I understand, but then the Gemara's addition of this is just arbitrary, meaning it assumes that was what Rabbi Yosef was talking about. We don't know that, because we see later in the Gemara that it could have been talking about a case with a Zilpah.
Well, we don't know about whether, the point is, we don't know in the story. The story just tells us that being closer to the Eretz matters. It doesn't tell us in what scenario. The question a lot of Rishonim ask is, they want to use the proof of the Maskan of the Gemara against Rabbi Yehuda because Why did they? Why was he asking? Who was it? Rahuna, Chista. Lamula, right. So the they want to bring is that why would he ask challenge Rav Hamnuna over Kadima if Chavid mattered? So one possibility would be is that he knew that Chavid, he knew that Rav Hamnuna. You could say. So there are different ways. The question is, the Ra'ah, which I gave you, sort of says you didn't understand what he was asking him. He wasn't asking him, he wasn't taking it as a given that Kadima mattered. He was asking him why he chose that. Was it because Kadima doesn't matter, or because Chaviv overrides Kadima? And his answer was, it was because Kadima, but you have to know how Kadima works.
Fine, but once I get to the considering factor that means once we have the did, so the Gemara wants it to function as a proof text. But I'm just saying, how does it? Meaning, because we don't know that's actually what the case was. Once we say that it could be Rabbi Yosef's statement,
it applies even.
Yeah.
Right. So, if you want to argue that it's not a. If you want to argue that Chaviv might take precedence over Shiva Saminim, but if you don't have a Chaviv that Kadima matters, you have to take out the Dalit. Then it's not a proof text at all. It's a new statement.
Yes, I'm saying, what gave the Gemara? No, but.
The Gemara just said, Rav Yirmiyahu said, well, Hatam Bleedi. Now the Gemara says, oh, once we're talking about Hatama, by the way.
So any of you who learned the later case and the story in the Gemara as not passing like Rav Yehuda necessarily will have to dig out the.
Or they're going to have to say that what. Or they're going to. I'm trying to think, do they have to do that, Brian?
Well, what kind of an example where the matter is general, so you see that this is a valid mechanism.
Odd to do it in this context, though, but that's the.
Sounds like there's taking more double down. I don't understand what the double handle is.
If the Gemara is going to use the proof, how are you? You're saying you're arguing about Lahaftim, and then you're invoking Rav Yosef, but it means the Chachamim don't believe in Kadima. So why? In other words, by my plea, Lahaftim, because as Rav Yirmiyahu said, Lahaftim, it means the Chachamim hold Hakdama is irrelevant when you make two brachos. And Rabbi Yehuda holds no, Shivas Aminim gets Kadima. The Amar Rav Yosef, we see that Kadima matters. Kol Amukta Bepasach is Muktam Lebrach. Here's the and now is your eighth time. It's good that you're asking that question because the Rishon would grapple with the question of like what does Kadima mean here? It has to mean what does Rav Yosef mean? Okay, let's step back for a second. What does Rav Yosef mean when he says "Kol Amuktam Bepasit Muktam Labracha"? What does Muktam Labracha mean? What? Yeah, as opposed to Jake. What? Kadima. It is very odd, actually.
Yeah, well, like.
Okay.
It's
really weird, isn't it? I just realized that now.
Traditionally, the same bracha.
What? It's really odd. That's by the way why it would be probably much better to have not zin.
Yeah.
Right. Just before you get to this shot, Vitaria, that's a good question. The rest of it.
Why is it clear that it is given
there also because we only make bracha? The core question in the Gemara is luck. If you're making only one bracha, I understand the machlokas. The chacham is saying, the Rav Yehuda says, Shiva Samin is adam. The chacham think whatever you want is adam. Or, whatever you can find out for you want. But if they're arguing when you're making two brachos anyway, like, what are they arguing about? What's the being Rav Yehuda's banner? The answer is, b'lahaftim. B'lahaftim means when you have two brachos to make, should specialness of one of the foods play any role since you're making brachos on both? And then they quote the Amar Rav Yosef, that you see that Kadima is a thing. But that's not Kadima. That's which one you make the bracha on. I could give a teretz, because it's on your mind. But no, because there's a different bracha on tchit and tzora versus the fruit, except that the story doesn't deal with that. Unless you want to sort of cut the link between the two. And for Rabbi Yosef, you know, but you have to say, kala muktam b'pasat muktam l'bracha, which means tchit and tzora, get a bracha before before all the others that Tavori creates.
I feel like you could have said something more specific than that general vague thing when you're talking about a specific case.
But then the story we turn around, if all Rav Yosef was stating, right, if all Rav Yosef was stating is that Kedima matters even between two brachos, so what, the story just represents a Kal V'Chomer that matters within two brachos, then there is a switch of what Kedima, unless you say what I just said, there's a switch between what Kedima means.
You could say that as a hack to mean which one is Kodim of Bracha. If after you mean this bracha, you mean a second bracha, then make a second bracha,
but
not that.
No, because it misses the whole point of the Gemara's Bishlama. The Gemara understands that if you have to make a choice of which bracha to make, we understand why it matters which food you make the bracha. We have different preferences. But the Gemara's question was, if you're making two brachas anyway, why? What do they argue about? And the Gemara's answer is no, Rabbi Yehuda cares about Kedima. And the Kedima, when you're making two brachas, De'amar Rabbi Yosef, kol mokum pasuk mokum bracha. So unless it means that just as Rabbi Yehuda can prefer a bracha the Shivas Aminim, just as he could prefer a bracha on within Shivas Aminim, they prefer that you make one bracha over the other based upon when it's Muktam B'Pasach. So he also believes that when you have a Shivas Aminim and non Shivas Aminim, even when you're making two brachas, anything that's closer to Eretz gets the bracha first, whether it's two Shivas Aminim or Shivas Aminim and a non Shivas Aminim, which is by definition very far away from Eretz. If you say that, Kol Muktam B'Pasach Muktam B'Bracha means within categories, which was an idea that Rabbi Yonah advances. Right, the Rani really didn't like that Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says the whole klal is first parents is only within a category. Then, right, because he was dealing with the question of the Baha'i, who said that you make eats before Adama. And if you assume that Chita and Sora is kosis Chita, kosis and Sora, then you're going to make things later in the pasuk. If you're supposed to make eats before Adama, then you're going to have to make the brachas on things that are later in the pasuk before the Chita and the Sora. And the answer is, the Rabbeinu Yonah, his first answer is, no, it means within the category. Within Ha'etz's, earlier in the Pasuk gets the bracha. Within Ha'adamas, Chita gets the bracha. But if that's the case, then the Gemara is, the joy makes absolutely no sense. Because you're talking about one bracha, who gets the bracha, as opposed to which bracha do you make first? Yeah. Oh dear.
If we were assuming the sort of matching the Chachamim of Rabbi Shimon said, "I'm making two brachos anyways. Then who cares which order you make it in? Because you're making one bracha which is not relevant anyways. So who cares?" So we say, "Acting just like Rabbi Yosef, where you find it, you're making the main shalosh afterwards anyways. So it still matters which one gets the bracha Rishana. So you see that the bracha Rishana matters in the end of bracha Achra."
Well, I lost that. I thought the shita of Rishul the Meiji was.
Bracha Rishana matters because of Bracha Achrona.
Right.
So, in case we're making two Brachos Rishonas anyways, then it's not like that's
something. I thought that, in other words, the case that the Machlokas reviewed, the Chacham only argued Rabbi Yehuda when you're not making a Bracha Achrona. When you make a Bracha Achrona, they agree that you want the Bracha Rishonas title. But then I said that if there were two different Brachos, then presumably even Rabbi Yehuda might be mowed that, maybe. But I don't know. But the Chacham certainly would say, well, in that case, we don't care about, who get order. Orders,
So the activity of Marzosh means, if it's Emerson St. Jello's, then who cares? Or you say, Rabbi Yosef, you see, there's also a sign. Since there's also a meaning, you're making a choice after any of them anyways. So it's not because of Bracha Achrona that you're exchanging the Bracha Rishana. Yet you still care which Bracha Rishana comes first.
Why are you making two Bracha?
You're only making one bracha.
Right, but you still care which bracha comes first.
Which sets the bracha?
You preference one bracha over the other, even though it cannot give us a bracha front. You see that there's hashivas to bracha rishon and the bracha front.
Okay.
I don't see that.
Okay, true. True, but how is that relevant to this?
The question is coming from, if we thought that the only reason why Bracha Rishana makes a difference is because of Bracha Achrona, and you're making two Bracha Rishana anyways, then why should it make a difference?
Right.
So now, once we see that Rabbi Yosef, Bracha Rishana makes a difference in the end of Bracha Achrona, then we have no tzimini.
then we have no.
Okay.
I'm sorry that I'm not hopping. I'm sure what you're saying, there's something there. I'm just not.
It's a little convoluted.
It's the last step that I can't quite piece together. So, but unless you go, if you go down, if you take Rabbi Yonah's first parrots as a way of example, we're not talking about two separate brachas. There is something very disjoint in the Gemara. It's a very superficial characterization. You're saying that just as kedima matters, it's not kedima there. It's which one you're making the bracha on. Did anybody realize this before, Shir?
I think I did, actually.
So then why did you say something? I don't know. It's very, very striking. And it's striking because I'm pretty sure the Rishonim don't say boo. They talk about very much the connection to the end of the sugya. But nobody talks about, like, this just feels like a little bit of a sleight of hand. If you're assuming two different meanings, that's one thing. Then it can work. Lewis?
Yes. So, this might be drawn a little bit with some of the cheers, so, but why is it dependent on the Dalit?
So well, if you have a Dalit, it's explaining that this is an example of Hatzdama.
Right, so I'm just saying textually, but Svar-wise, if the Dalit is the proof text, then that doesn't, since the proof text doesn't necessarily mean that other people will hold it, it means you're trying to summon something that might be...
Yes, but if they, but Lewis, if they held of it, why would the Chacham be makbir on Kedima of some kind?
Bruce, that's what I'm saying. It seems like it's more based on Svara. That even if Amar is a separate statement, then it's more of a Svara issue for the Chacham to reconcile this statement.
Correct. Yes. But if it says the Amar really makes it sound, you are wondering about Rabbi Yehuda Shika, how does it make any sense? The answer is, you see it makes sense because look at what Rabbi Yosef says. It sounds like, that's why most Rishonim walk away and say, well, if it's the Amar, it sounds like only Rabbi Yehuda holds it. So then you have to.
He's building on Rabbi Yosef and the assumptions of Amar's point of
view. Correct, that they don't hold of it. So some, I think they're going to fetch a little bit about it because when they come around and say, yeah, but even the Chachamim will be Moda. Even the Chacham will be Moda that if you have no Chaviv, then Mukta B'Pasach, you know, you got to pick somehow, and that a certain kind of Hashivas. So that is a big Kiddush. It's a Svarah Kiddush to say that Chachamim care about Kedima, and they care about Shavu Sinim, and ordinarily they don't. Because one could have said, again, you have to come up with this idea. You can, I just really don't care whatsoever, you know, which one. Like, even in the Mishnah itself, you know why there's a reason. What would motivate the Rashi's position? Right, the very Chacham Shizir says whichever you want. What would motivate a position that there's this categorical chavid as opposed to what I feel like right now?
He doesn't want the Chacham to completely reject
I have to think about whether that's actually what stimulates him. But on a Sara level, why would the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Yehuda if you didn't care in the first place? You really just don't care. If you don't care, so why not do like Rabbi Yehuda? Why not be a Zionist? So the answer immediately is, no, I really do want to be. That's Eitzah Mishayitzah. I want one of them. So you could stop right there. You could say, yeah, whatever I want right now. But the Rush then sees it. Ah, no, but what do you mean I want right now? My whim at the moment? Well, our answer is, Samu Shana Parama, yes. But the rest is no. The point is, if the Chachamim are going to assign Kedima to, if the Chachamim are going to drift out of Yehuda, it's because they should have Kedima too. They should be mashed. What if you really literally don't care? So that's why Ezer and Sheyirtza, that's probably why it's called Chavid. The fact that they reject Rabbi Yehuda, there would be no reason to reject Rabbi Yehuda if you're totally agnostic. Okay. Tomorrow we will continue. I would like to try to, I don't know if we'll finish tomorrow, but certainly not later. Not later than Thursday, maybe even try to finish tomorrow. I think we chewed this up enough. I just want to make sure we touch upon all the sheikhs that we've shown him to read the Tosafim, and then we will move on. The next sugya is going to be the Zert sugya. That one is, if any of you have been sitting next to or in the vicinity of Ephraim and Yehudia, then you will appreciate that is a sugya with many, many shitas.